Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Thursday, October 10th. Today, we're joined by Eric and Kate to discuss a surprising medical case linked to breakdancing. A man in Denmark developed a foot-long tumor on his scalp after years of performing headspins. Let's explore this case and its implications. Eric, what are your thoughts on this unusual medical condition?
Well, Ted, this case is absolutely mind-blowing. We're talking about a benign tumor over 12 inches long and more than an inch thick, all caused by repeatedly banging your head on the floor. It's like growing a foot-long sub on your noggin. But jokes aside, it's a stark reminder that even our coolest hobbies can have some nasty surprises up their sleeve.
I get what you're saying, Eric, but aren't we missing the forest for the trees here? Breakdancing isn't just about headspins. It's an incredible form of artistic expression and a killer workout. Heck, it's even in the Olympics now.
Hold up, Kate. I'm not dismissing the artistry of breakdancing, but we can't sweep this under the rug. This headspin hole or breakdance bulge isn't as rare as you might think. It starts with a little hair loss, but before you know it, you've
got many sports carry risks. What about football and all those concussions? Should we bubble wrap everyone and call it a day? That's just ridiculous.
Kate, you're not getting it. This isn't about accidental injuries. We're talking about a specific move that's causing predictable long-term damage. It's like if every quarterback...
All right, I see your point. But let's not forget that breakers aren't oblivious to these risks. Many of them use protective gear like padded beanies or gel pads under their hats. It's all about practicing responsibly, not throwing in the towel on the whole art form.
You both raise interesting points. Let's dig deeper into the medical aspects. Eric, can you break down how this tumor actually develops?
Sure thing, Ted. According to Dr. Sundergaard, who treated this patient, it's all about that constant friction between the head and the floor, plus the weight-bearing nature of head spins. It's like if you kept rubbing the same spot on your arm for years, eventually you're going to see some changes. In this case, it triggers inflammation, and over time, minor bleeding leads to thickened skin and scar tissue. Before you know it, boom, you've got a Quasimodo situation on your hands, or rather on your head.
While that explanation makes sense, we need to remember that this is an extreme case. Most breakers aren't walking around with foot-long head tumors. We shouldn't blow this out of proportion and scare people away.
Extreme or not, it highlights a real issue. This poor guy was so self-conscious, he wouldn't go out in public without a hat. That's not just a physical problem.
I hear you, Eric, but let's look at the bright side. After treatment, the guy said his head looks completely normal now. This shows that with proper medical care, even these extreme cases can be managed. It's not a death sentence for breakdancing.
Both of you make compelling arguments. Let's zoom out a bit and look at this from a broader perspective. Are there historical precedents for such physical consequences in other art forms or sports? Eric, any thoughts?
Absolutely, Ted. This whole situation reminds me of the Fosbury flop in high jumping. Back in the 1968 Olympics, this guy Dick Fosbury turned the sport on its head. Literally, he introduced a new technique where jumpers went over the bar backwards. It was revolutionary, but it also led to a spike in injuries, particularly to the neck and back. It's a classic case of innovation, outpacing our understanding of its physical impacts.
That's an interesting comparison, Eric. But let's not forget that the Fosbury flop is still used today. It didn't spell the end of high jumping. Instead, it pushed the sport to evolve. They improved landing areas and developed better training techniques. It's a perfect example of how a sport can adapt to new challenges without losing its essence.
That's a fascinating historical parallel, Kate. Can you think of any other examples where a particular technique in art or sport led to unexpected health issues?
Sure thing, Ted. Let's pirouette over to the world of ballet for a moment. The use of pointe shoes, which came about in the early 19th century, has led to a whole host of foot and ankle problems for dancers. We're talking bunions, stress fractures, you name it. But here's the kicker. Ballet is still a celebrated art form with millions of practitioners worldwide. It's proof that we can acknowledge risks without demonizing an entire art form.
You're right about ballet injuries being well documented, Kate, but that's exactly my point. Headspin hole is still relatively unknown in medical literature. We need more research to understand and prevent these injuries. We can't just shrug our shoulders.
I totally agree that more research is needed, Eric. But that doesn't mean we should put breakdancing on ice. Look at how many sports and art forms have become safer over time as we've learned more about their impacts on the body. Breaking can follow.
The key difference here, Kate, is the nature of the injury. Ballet injuries are often acute, a sudden sprain or break. This breakdancing injury develops slowly over time, making it potentially more insidious. It's like the frog in boiling
water. I see
what
you're getting at, Eric. But couldn't we also argue that the slow development gives us more opportunity to intervene? With proper education and regular medical checkups, we could catch these issues early and prevent severe cases like this one from developing. It's all about being proactive rather than reactive.
You both raise intriguing points. Eric, how do you think the breakdancing community should respond to this case?
They need to take it seriously, Ted. This isn't just a freak accident we can brush off. I think we need to look at introducing mandatory protective gear for competitions, maybe even consider limiting the number of head spins allowed in routines. It might seem extreme, but if it prevents someone from growing a foot-long tumor on their head, I'd say it's worth it.
Whoa there, Eric. Let's not go overboard. Safety is important, sure, but we shouldn't treat breakers like they're made of glass. The breaking community is already hip to this issue, and many of them take precautions. Instead of slapping on a bunch of restrictions, we should focus on education. Let's empower breakers with knowledge so they can make informed decisions about their health and their art.
Looking to the future, how do you think this case might impact breakdancing, especially now that it's an Olympic sport? Eric, what's your prediction?
Well, Ted, I think this case is going to be a real wake-up call. We're likely to see the International Olympic Committee putting breakdancing under the microscope. Don't be surprised if they start implementing some pretty strict safety guidelines. They might even go as far as discouraging or outright banning certain high-risk moves like head spins. It's all about liability and athlete safety at that level.
Oh, come on. That's totally blowing things out of proportion. Banning moves would fundamentally change the sport. It'd be like telling figure skaters they can't do jumps anymore. I think we'll see more emphasis on proper technique and protective gear, sure.
But Kate, you're being naive. This isn't just about the athletes. Think about the young kids watching the Olympics thinking, I want to do that. Parents and schools are going to be much more hesitant to encourage breakdancing now. We could see a shift.
That's such a pessimistic view, Eric. Young breakers will learn proper techniques and safety measures from the get-go. This could actually make the sport safer in the long run without scaring people away. Plus, breakdancing offers unique benefits. It improves strength, flexibility.
While those benefits exist, we can't ignore the risks. There are plenty of other forms of dance and exercise that offer similar benefits without the potential for such severe injuries. It's about weighing the pros and cons.
You're totally missing the point, Eric. Breaking isn't just about exercise, it's an art form with deep roots in hip-hop culture. Discouraging it could have much broader cultural implications. We need to find a way to make it safer without losing its soul.
Both of you make compelling arguments. Eric, do you see any potential positive outcomes from this case?
Actually, yes, Ted. If there's a silver lining here, it's that this case could spark more medical research into the long-term effects of breakdancing. We might see studies not just on head spin hole, but on other potential issues we haven't even identified yet. This could lead to better prevention strategies and treatment options, not just for breakers, but for dancers across various styles.
I'm with Eric on this one. More research would definitely be a win, but I hope it leads to innovations in protective gear and training techniques, rather than scaring people away from breaking. This could be an opportunity for the breaking community to come together, share knowledge, and make the sport safer and stronger than ever.
Thank you, Eric and Kate, for this illuminating discussion. It's clear that while this case raises important health concerns, it also opens up opportunities for improving safety in breakdancing. As the sport continues to evolve, it'll be fascinating to see how the community balances artistic expression with athlete well-being. That's all for today on Listen 2. Until next time, keep spinning those thoughts.